WERQ FM, HD3 Baltimore, an Urban One radio station, minority controlled,
and operated and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio One, its sponsors, or advertisers.
Beat up little cigar on a marble stand. Trying to find the ocean.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner with TJ Smith. And this show is sponsored in part, boy, do we have some good ones sponsoring this show. For example, we have my man, J&W Brown, General Contracting. Now they're licensed. Full service, I repeat, full service home improvement contractor servicing all your home improvement and renovation needs, interior and exterior. Now write this number down, 410-728-5000. Now that's the number to J&W Brown, 410-728-5000. Now let's go to a step forward. A step forward. They have provided residential treatment services, mental health, and substance abuse treatment for well over 20 years. And their goal is to return citizens to communities, men and women, and provide a hopeful and a prosperous future. If you need help or you know someone who needs help, pick up the phone. Give them a call. Now write this number down to a step forward. And that's 410-462-6001. That's 410-462-6001 and ask for Dr. Campbell. And last but not least, Shooting for Peace. It's a grassroots nonprofit. They use sports and current and former athletes to teach life lessons to youth and their families. And that number, you can give them a call at, I will have that number for you in 1 minute later on, but it is Shooting for Peace. Just check them out on the web because they don't have a good number right now, but that is Shooting for Peace. Okay, folks, without further ado, let me bring on my co-host. He is TJ Smith, and we have a very, very special guest that we're going to bring on in a second. But TJ, before we bring our guest on, and it's a very appropriate to have her because this is certainly her expertise, but man, I'm heartbroken, and you sent me the story initially. 9-year-old and a 15-year-old. The 15-year-old's life is gone, and the 9-year-old, who knows what his life will be. How does this happen, man? How does this happen in a quote-unquote civilized society?
Coach, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon, everybody. And this is the epitome of irresponsibility. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, I think the question a lot of people, it's been like a headline, he won't be charged. We shouldn't be talking about a 9-year-old getting charged with a crime, even if he could be, because it really isn't his fault at all that he could have access to a weapon in front of or inside of a house. And then the fact that whatever time of night it was,
yes,
intermingled with this age group, and that's not even age appropriate if you think about it. That youth of 9 years old. I have a 10-year-old son, to be just hanging out with a 15-year-old at that point, and who knows what the other age group was. There's a lot going on.
And I want to talk about the two stories, two main stories. And the theme is lack of parenting or lack of proper adult supervision. And you're right. The first question that I asked, but before I even asked, and how did he get his hands on a gun, why was he out at night? 9 years old? Huh?
Yeah. We can't expect these kids to raise themselves. And then, you know, I know that the family is already going through enough, but we can't sit here and keep playing with kid gloves on these serious issues, because they're real lives at stake. They're now going to be burying a 15-year-old in a situation that was 100% avoidable and preventable. And we have to have the tough, hard conversations about how this could have been avoidable and preventable.
And then you have to ask yourself the question, you've got teenagers, 15 years old, I don't know how old the others were, but at that time of the evening, 8 o'clock, it's getting dark or whatever, you don't leave them out on the porch unsupervised.
Right.
You don't do that.
Yeah. And
then I'm hearing, TJ, that people had said that they were witnesses and they saw this 9-year-old boy with the gun. Well, why didn't anyone do something? Why didn't they call the police? Why didn't they go in the house and knock on the door?
Right. Yeah. It's
the lack of parenting. Don't blame Mayor Scott for this. Don't blame Marilyn Mosby for this. Don't blame the police commissioner. This starts in your home. This starts in your home.
Yeah, 100% upbringing, parenting, and just sheer responsibility. Anyone from a leadership standpoint as an individual to say this is wrong.
Yes.
Stop this right here, period. And, you know, for any young person, they have to know that, hold on, no, we can't have this. A mistake can happen that can hurt one of us. And unfortunately, it did. And this is the second time, Coach, because it was just a week ago in Towson that a young person, and I don't remember the exact age of the young person in that situation, but that young person, I believe, was charged with a crime, killed a sibling. If I'm not mistaken, that was 15 as well. So, response.
That's Exhibit A. Now, before we bring on our guest, Exhibit B, the suspect, the alleged shooter who's in custody. Did you hear his mother? Did you hear his mother? Now, I am not saying that the mother doesn't love her son. I know she does. But it didn't sound like from her that she was giving him much direction. Sean, play this clip. Well, she's blaming every damn body but herself.
I'm trying to make an example of him. I feel like he got a lot to do with Ivan Bates getting that seat and Marilyn Mosby not. I feel like it's a lot of things that's being swept under the rug that people are not trying to let be told. I was always told if it don't add up, something ain't right, and it's not adding up. I can tell you all of my children's life stories from day one up until now, other than him. I'm missing from July 6th up until now. I can't tell you shit about his life from July 6th up until now.
All right, hold it right there.
That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
All right, well, why was he out on the street squeegeeing? What responsible parent would do that? Huh? What?
Yeah.
And to blame the city, to blame the people. I mean, come on, folks. The bar has to be higher. Let me bring on our guest. And she is just a wonderful, wonderful person. She is so renowned in her field, okay, and just simply one of the best at what she does. And so without further ado, let me bring on Rose B. Davis Ham.
Hello, Coach.
I had to get all of it in there.
I know.
but I tell you, folks, and I call her my sister because that's what she is, but she is, in my opinion, the foremost authority on education, especially from the urban perspective. But Rose, help us. Two tragic situations. I've said a tremendous lack of adult or parental supervision. I'm going to pass the ball to you. What do you say?
Well, first, thank you, Coach, and TJ Smith for having me on this evening. I have to agree that there is a lack of parental control and leadership with a lot of our young people nowadays. There is no reason why that gun should have been even available. It should have been in a lockbox if, in fact, it did belong to an armed security officer who lived in the home. When a parent says what she said in reference to not knowing anything about her child from July, whatever it was, up until now, that raises a red flag for me. Where was that child? What was that child doing? And why didn't you know where the child was? So I agree with you 100%.
9-year-olds running free at night?
No.
A 9-year-old shouldn't run free any place unless it's in the backyard or in the basement.
And I agree with you 100%. Depending upon how that 9-year-old has been raised and allowed to grow many years ahead of his age to be on the streets of Baltimore at that time of night. It goes back to parenting. A lot of these things that we did in school to assist with parenting, I'm not saying that it's not in all schools, but I know that it is not a part of the curriculum, nor is it a part of the belief system. At one time, the schoolhouse raised everyone. We had a part of everything going on there. So it's just sad that this has happened again. And I'm unfortunate, but parents need to step up to the plate. My question is, do we know how to parent?
How did that happen? How did over the years, did this erode the responsibilities and some of what the school used to instruct and some of the behavior assessments that the schools used to instill or what have you erode to where it is now, where it's chance after chance, where it was unheard of to think of a student putting their hands on a teacher and we ever seeing that student again in that same school. Now, it could be days or weeks later. How did you see that during your tenure in the school?
I've seen it happen over the years. The Maryland State Department of Education assists the city school system with the curriculum that is supposed to be taught. I have seen dummy downing of the curriculum. I have seen certain curriculum or curricula that has been removed from the school system, and in essence, we are the ones that are left holding the bag, our children, because the level at which the instruction should be is not there in all schools. The content is not there in all schools. When I first went to Douglas High School and found out that grammar was no longer taught in the school system, I said, oh, no, not here. We're going to teach grammar. And my teachers, everybody in that school learned reading, how to teach reading to those students. We couldn't allow our students not to be able to write a simple sentence, a compound sentence, use correct diction when speaking. They were corrected. I have just seen certain things happen where our kids, they are saying that the curriculum teaches our kids to think, but I don't see that happening. If you can take a state exam and just put a thought down, and that thought is accepted, and you can pass with that thought, but that thought does not have a proper structure to it for a sentence, problem with that. Mm-hmm. Because that's not what our children are meeting in the world today. But if you go to a McDonald's, if you go to any of the fast food restaurants, when you look at that cash register, do you know what you see? You see pictures. You see numbers. Mm-hmm. They don't have to think. It's there for them. But that is not how the world works. So I just feel that we've dumbed down the educational system. Furthermore, you look at a lot of our schools. Mergenthaler is foremost in VOTEC or VOC programs that are new and different. Look at Carver, that used to be a premier on this side, the west side of town, where they've taken out most of those vocational programs that lead to jobs. Everyone is not going to go to college.
That's right. That's right. Let me ask you this.
I'm sorry that I'm going on and on, but I'm breaking.
No. Hey, okay. Look, you know, as a coach, when you have a superstar, you give them the ball and let them do what they want to do. Okay, so you're a superstar. But let me ask you this, though. What are your thoughts on reports of grades being changed? And the other point, I have a problem with, what was it, 60 being a passing grade?
Yeah, let me, first of all, I don't agree with the 60 being a passing grade.
That
was dumbing down many years ago from a 70 being a passing grade.
That's right.
It just lowers our standards across the board. What was the first part of that question there, Coach?
And the other part is there any justification of changing a grade? Now, I've heard they talk, you know, I've heard some of them mention, Rose, that, if you're going to give someone a 57, you might as well give them a 60. Well, but, you know, once again.
Coach,
go ahead.
Let's not do this. You know, 58, 59, don't try to get it close to 55.
It's the same.
That's
the grade that the teacher felt that student should receive.
Right. You know what I see with that? This has been happening for years. If the person in charge of that school, that principal, said, okay, this is how we're going to do it, you don't have to do it that way. You can make your children accountable for making the grade. You don't have to just give someone a grade. Now, if you're taking the total child into perspective, if there's a team of teachers, administrators that are sitting down reviewing this child, even along with the parent, you know, you have to involve the parent in these kinds of things. You just can't randomly give kids grades. That is not the real world. The world does not work like that. And I am totally incensed against what I have seen happen in the past couple of years with the number of children that have blanketly been passed and graduate who cannot read, who cannot write, who cannot become employed. I'm getting ready to jump off on something. If I were the mayor in Baltimore City, I would have to have an honest talk with Santa Lisa and the school board that runs the school system and say, listen, this has to stop. We're not going to do it anymore, and this is how it's going to be done. Point blank across the board. Because all this boils down to is money per capita per student for the school system. And I think it is ridiculous. This whole process is ridiculous.
Absolutely. And just quickly, Rose, let our listeners know, folks, this is not someone here just pontificating. All right, this is someone who, as I stated, is the foremost authority in education, especially as it pertains to urban education. Just briefly give your resume and the number of years you've been an educator, a principal, et cetera.
Okay. I started out, I was in the Baltimore City school system as a student all the way through. Then I went to Coppin State University, became a teacher in special ed, master's in emotionally disturbed, taught on the elementary, middle school levels and high school levels in reading, math, special education department head, assistant principal at Francis and Wood Alternative High School, principal at the great Frederick Douglass Senior High School, went out on retirement and came back in. They asked me to go to Walbrook to start a new school there on the second floor, which I did, new high school. I've been in many schools, Harlem Park Elementary Middle School, Pimlico Elementary Middle School, Pimlico Junior High. I've been in Annapolis, where I worked with the school system there with disruptive children on the level with Parham, who left our system to become superintendent there. And I'm still volunteering in the schools whenever I get a chance. And I'm a listening ear to anyone in the school system that wants to have an ear, because if I can help a principal or a teacher become a better person in a school, I will do so. So that's my resume.
And TJ, I would be remiss not to say this, and I'm saying it, ain't nobody else saying it. You know, down in the past, they wanted to promote certain couples as Baltimore's power couple. Well, you know what? We got a part of a true Baltimore City power couple, because we've got the educator, and about a few weeks ago, we had the utmost authority in terms of law enforcement, Commissioner, my brother, Leonard Ham. So, in my opinion, that's the real Baltimore power couple. Now, folks are lining up.
Coach, before you go to the line.
Sure.
If Ms. Ham, did you see it? What were, if you could tell me, the distinct differences and a similarity, maybe one or two, distinct differences and similarities with the Baltimore City school system and the Anne Arundel County school system when you had challenging schools, challenging environments? Did you see a big difference in support, or what were some of the differences and similarities you saw?
The big difference was the support that I got in Anne Arundel County schools when working with students who were proposed, suspended, et cetera, going back into the schools, getting them reintegrated back into the schools, working along with the various different entities that teachers needed to understand those students' background and history. In Baltimore, what I found when I was in the schoolhouse, that as a principal, there were several principals during that time in high school. We worked together because the support that we got outside of the school system was not what we needed. So what we did was we orchestrated moving students between schools so that they could have success wherever they would go. Or we had to make sure that our budgets were so that we could give our teachers what they needed in order to function. So I found that it was a lot of times it was left up to us. And really the last thing I want to say is what they really did that was unfortunate with a lot of administrators was gave them the budget to function with, because all administrators are not accountants and cannot budget. I knew that, and I had a staff member that could do it for me, and we worked together to make sure that we got what we had to give to our students and our teachers.
Okay, from what I hear now, the lines are clear. So here's your chance to pick up. And this is a different show. we just don't automatically in the first 2 minutes and we introduce our guests and then go to the calls. No. All right, we'll let you know when we go to the phones. We're going to the phones right now. The lines are open, 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. First-time callers want to hear from you. We always love to hear from the ladies. And we're talking about the situations with our youth. The 9-year-old boy reportedly killed a 15-year-old girl. The 15-year-old squeegee suspect. And you heard the comments of the mother. And I'm saying in both situations, you can't blame this one on the city. You can't blame this one on the state's attorney or the governor or anybody else. But look in the mirror. In these two cases, I'm saying is a tremendous lack of parental and or adult responsibility. Give our young babies a chance. Give them a chance. So that's what I have to say, TJ. Your thoughts, and then we'll go to the lines.
Yeah, got to stop making excuses and buckle up, because we're cheating them out of their future adulthood by continuously giving them excuses. Life is hard. Getting up every day doing the right thing is hard. It's easiest thing in the world. And as we've taken away some of the responsibility, even in school, some of the accountability in school that some of these young folks are developing, thinking that's what life is like, and that's not the reality. So we can't. I mean, again, what we heard from the mom there, we can feel sorry for her for the situation that her son found himself in. But I heard on the earlier show, And as a by way of correction, she said on July 6th she hadn't heard anything. That was, I believe, the day that this incident occurred. He's charged as an adult. So technically, they aren't treating him like a juvenile where she's going to be with him every step of the way. The lawyers have to deal with everything. So that's why she hasn't heard any information.
Right.
It's not the juvenile, it's the adult system.
And TJ, you were in law enforcement. And if it's true, and we weren't there, so all we can go by is what we've read. But I've read where they shot this guy multiple times when he was on the ground. So, folks, stop this foolishness, this craziness talking about self-defense. That ain't self-defense.
Yeah, I think what people have to take a step back. Can be outraged at the gentleman, Timothy Reynolds, who got out of his vehicle wrong, going after these kids with the bat wrong. The incident is over, paused. The secondary incident is now a new incident. If the kids just beat him up, you have a mutual assault. The police come and determine who the aggressor was. It could have been Mr. Reynolds. He could have went to jail that day. But then when it escalates in that third incident with the gun, it changes the whole dynamic. And that's what people have to understand. If the burglar breaks into your house and scares the crap out of you and threatens you and then runs down the street, you can't go out into your closet, grab your gun, chase him down the street and shoot him. You can't do it. It just doesn't work that way. So it's unfortunate. And we have to keep in mind, Marilyn Mosby charged this case days before the election. I don't know that Marilyn Mosby would have charged this case days before the election if there was a question and charged him as an adult. So,
and one last point to kill this self-defense thing. If indeed he ran to get the gun, how's that self-defense?
And I think, again, just we're just theorizing here. I think that would probably help prove that element of that first degree murder that some people are griping about, where it changes the level of intent. Now I'm going to get this gun to do something to this person, which takes it to a level of premeditation. Look, and I have a soft spot in my heart for the fact that does a 14-year-old deserve to spend the rest of their life in prison for this situation?
If you shoot somebody, hell yeah. If you shoot somebody, hell yeah.
I don't know if I can agree to that, but
yeah. Okay, but that's fine. I respect that, but see, again, we're not talking about purse snatching or going into a grocery store and stealing a bag of chips, shooting someone allegedly, and again, we weren't there, so allegedly or reportedly, multiple times while on the ground, where else do you deserve to be? Where else? All right, 410-481-1010. We have Leo first. Leo, you're on the Coach's Corner with Coach Butch McAdams, T.J. Smith, and our special guest, Rose Ham. Talk to us.
Good afternoon, Coach McAdams and T.J. Smith and Mrs. Rose Ham. My question, and I agree with you in essence about parental responsibility, and I've listened to this broadcast very carefully, but how do we ensure a standardization of enforcement of responsibilities? Let's look at the gun. Unsecured gun, ammunition should have been separated from the gun, locked up, should not have been, no child or anybody should have been able to access that weapon. That's a responsibility of the security officer, whoever, in this case. My question is, how do we enforce parental responsibility with regard to the gun and truancy in school? They've got a 40%, Coach, 40% absentee rate in Baltimore City public schools and inner city schools, and they don't enforce it.
All right, hold it right there. All right, Rose, truancy, your thoughts.
Okay, my thoughts on truancy is, again, the outreach that has to be done from the home, from the school to the home. And that means constant calling. If you can't get through the phone, then there should be a designated person that does a home visit. If a parent is working and says, I can't come in because of this, there is a law on the books that will allow them to leave work for a certain amount of time to come to the school to see what's going on. But I believe that the outreach has to start from the school system itself to the parents' home, because parents need to understand what's going on with their children.
Absolutely. And TJ, in terms of responsibility, you are in law enforcement. When you come home, what do you do with your firearm?
Well, if you have children in the home, you're supposed to lock it up. Now, that's a law, and it's a misdemeanor, but the only way that that's ever going to be enforced is if something happens. No one's doing inspections. You don't have to unload it and don't have to separate that vehicle when it's being reported because of the concealed carry situation. But, again, this comes down to basic responsibility. It can be loaded and ready to go if it's locked up in a position that an irresponsible person or young person can't get to it.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Leo. All right. 410-481-1010. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're up next.
Hello, Ms. Rose. I'm going to have a question for CJ, but let me say this. If parents are not investing in their child's education, if you don't have structure and discipline at the home, if they're not going to PTA meetings and talking to the child's teachers, I just don't see it working. And my question for you, CJ, is, has the police found that murder weapon yet? And if not, why not? Because back in the day, your father would have tore your ass up until you told him where that gun came from and where it is now.
All right. Well, I don't know that the murder weapon has been found. And, you know, in today's world of technology, you don't necessarily need the weapon. That used to be something that was like almost a given for a murder conviction, but not today. But again, we're in a different world. What you're saying, where the parent would bring you to the police station and say, tell them everything, you know, we're in a different world now. We're the village.
Yes.
Handle things. It just doesn't work that way, and that translates right back into the school system, where we're dealing with all of these symptomatic things that make their way into society, and here are the problems that bubble up as a result.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing for sure, if we had the weapon, ballistics could tell if it's linked to other murders where they pick those shell casings up off
Absolutely.
The street.
And okay. they can do that with the shell casings themselves. Again, technology has allowed that. The not in technology. So you don't actually need just the weapon. You can do it with the shell casing.
All right, Coach, let's play two.
All right. All right, 410-481-1010. Robert Lee's a line available. Pick it up. And let's go to Patrick Henderson. Patrick Henderson, Coach's Corner.
Yes, Coach. Good afternoon, everyone. Great show. I would like to be one of the first ones to say to Professor Ham that she should run for the president, the CEO of Baltimore City Public Schools.
She'd get my endorsement.
She's a thoughtful woman. I had an after-school program for 4 years. And when kids would mispronounce words or not get the tenses right, I would correct them. But I would hear them say stuff in the front. And I wasn't even a teacher. This was my program. And the teachers would not correct the kids. I said, why don't you correct them? So then they won't keep doing it. They're going to start writing what they're saying. Why don't you correct them? Oh, Mr. Henderson, as though I was some anomaly, although as if I was something was wrong with me because I didn't think that was basic to teaching. I was just really flabbergasted by it. But I think that the school doesn't do a lot of teachers and stuff. They're there to collect checks, and this is no impugnment on them. But they got to be there for more. They have to be there. Well, I wonder what her thoughts were on that, why they don't do that.
All right,
well,
Rose.
First of all, thank you, Mr. Henderson, for correcting the students. And you are correct. Some teachers do not correct students in the classroom as far as tense and usage of verbs. I would just say that within the school system today, let me just leave this. Give me that question again. Because I wanted to say something else, but I don't want to.
Well, I want you to be straight up with, I don't understand why they don't correct the kids.
Okay. Sometimes it comes, I always say this, it comes from leadership in the school. It comes from that principal in that school. And what the principal and the staff agree to do as a unit. And when they get that support from that principal who says, oh, it's okay to correct, and when that principal lets those students know this is what's going to happen, when that principal lets the parents know in meetings this is what's going to happen, then you can do those things. I find that when I'm in certain schools that teachers are really afraid to correct students, and it comes from what's going on in that school and the limitations that have been set and how people interact with students and how you interact in the community. It's not just a one answer to your question per se, because there are a lot of avenues that you have to take in order to get in a classroom and have a teacher to be able to correct students to feel comfortable doing it.
Patrick, I heard your show, brilliant as always. But I'm listening to some of the people who called in, and I'm saying the mindset is so different from what I grew up in.
Yeah, me too.
I heard, maybe it's generational. I don't know, Patrick. But I heard one caller call up and talk about, well, some black middle class folks demonize our children because they want to impress white people. Shut up! Shut up with that foolishness.
I couldn't believe he said it either.
Don't you know? And if that person is listening, 410-481-1010, you call up here with that foolishness. Don't you know that, look, the three of us, and not TJ, but, you know, TJ has an old spirit. You know, he's a young guy, but he's old in spirit. But we came up during the time, Patrick and Rose, and I'm not saying it was right, but we were taught that we were better than white folks. We were better, and I can remember just listening to the news, and somebody did something. And my mother could say, well, you know they white because black folks don't do that kind of stuff.
Yep, I remember that. Yep. Yes, sir.
And it wasn't about impressing white people. It was how we rolled. We were dignified. We had class.
Low-hanging fruit, Coach. You just pivot to that when there's nothing else left to say.
You just pivot to the
right. That's right. Yep. Thanks,
man.
Patrick.
Thank you. It's an excuse instead of a real problem that you can solve. Like, middle-class black folks are trying to impress white folks, and that is...
Yes, can you believe somebody said that foolishness?
Come on.
And once again, Rose, as you said, in the classroom, if you hear a student mispronounce a word, it's your obligation to correct them. Now, it's the same thing on radio. If I hear somebody say something ridiculous and it's not mainstream, I'm going to correct them.
Thank you. Thank you.
As I said, look, there's been a movie and a television show called The Equalizer. Hey, TJ, we the balancer. We balance all the other foolishness that you may hear on some of these other shows. Yeah, I said it. All right, 410-481-1010. Gene, you're up next.
Yeah, good afternoon, TJ, Coach, and Miss Rose. Is it Dr. Rose or is it Mo? Rose?
Oh, just call me Rose.
Okay, Rose, I'll do that. Yeah, I have a question mainly directed to you in reference to education. I'm sure you've heard of, you understand that Andrew Carnegie and his relationship to education and the immigration period when the Irish, the Jewish people, and I'm trying to think of who else might have come at that time. Well, the Irish and the Jewish, they'll do well enough. Okay, so when they got here, the Irish couldn't speak English because they were Celts.
All right, get to your question now. What's your question?
They had the potato farm. I had to set this up, Coach. They had the potato. They had the potato famine, and they had poverty. It was the parents' responsibility in reference to education. So I agree with you on that. But none of the systems that are in place were in place then to support these immigrants. And so my question to you is, Ms. Rose, why do we still have the same problem if the systems are in place, but yet the parents aren't supported, and usually they're blamed for the problem?
All right, thanks, Gene. All right, Rose?
So I think I heard him correctly. First of all, parents have to be a part of the child's education. If the parent is not, maybe some people would disagree with me, but that school has to make sure that that parent is a part of the child's education. I don't care how you go about doing it. There are no excuses as to it's not a part of my job category, but you have to involve that parent.
That's right.
And I agree with you, Rose, but again, remember, it's not being done. And you called out Dr. Sandalisa. You haven't called out the school board yet, and you haven't called out the mayor who appoints the members of the school board. But again,
all right, thanks, Gene. Thank you, Gene.
She actually did. And, you know, part of this, again, we talk, I think one of the foundations of the conversation we're having today is parental responsibility.
Yep.
And I know Ms. Hamm has seen this over the years. I've seen it over the years, heard it directly from educators. Some of these parents will be checked out most of the year. And to that moment, you tell them, oh, your kid ain't participating in the sport. Your kid ain't participating in prom. And then they raise in holy hell to make sure their kid can participate. Now they're more involved than they have ever been so that they can participate in the extracurricular activity, not so that they can be promoted into the next grade through their educational excellence. So the priorities are completely screwed up among some because it's all about the novelty and the novelty things so they can have these big charades. And it's real, but we got to talk about it. We can't sit here and masquerade it.
No, we can't. We can't cover it up. All right, let's go back to lines 410-481-1010. Doc's next. Doc.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Excellent discussion. And earlier in the Patrick Henderson show, the statement that I made and what I've been experiencing for at least the last 25 years in being a community leader, we have a serious challenge with parents not knowing how to be parents.
Right.
And I think that's where we need to start. We need to start with the elementary school. I would even go so far with some of the parents that are dealing with preschool. We need to begin letting these parents know what is acceptable and what is not. Many of them really, you know, I don't want to blame them in any way. I really don't think they have a clue. They don't know how to be neighbors. They don't know how to be parents. And they say and do what's on their mind. And many of the kids, their challenges come as a result of the parents.
That's right.
Well, and that's my point exactly today. And you look at it, okay, in both scenarios, the nine-year-old, and first, you know, everyone is saying, obviously, well, why did he get the gun? How did he get the gun? But my first question is, how is he out of the house? Why is a nine-year-old out of the house by him or herself? All right? And then we heard the mother of the alleged or the suspect shooter. In both cases, I don't think these youngsters had a chance. She blaming everybody
but herself.
I totally agree. I'm hoping now neighborhood will be able to go back into our school, which is Matthew Henson, and this is today is Matthew Henson's born date. And I'm hoping and praying when we go back into the school, one of the projects that I'm going to ask my parents and some folks that went to Coppin because they're right up the street to come and help us talk to the parents about what it takes to be a good parent. Because I really don't think many of them don't have a clue.
And that's kind of sad. I mean, you know what? I would say some animals are better parents. Mm. And they don't get classes, do they? But some things are instinctive. But you're right. And yeah, I said it. I'm not calling people animals, but my point is that you have some animals that take care, better care of their offsprings than some human beings.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. I'll say this to Doc's point. It is great. It's necessary. He was spot on. I'm sure Ms. Hamm has seen this. Again, I saw this for years with some of the work that I was doing. Oftentimes, unfortunately, no different with PTA meetings and back to school night events, the parents that you really need aren't the parents that are coming. And so these voluntary things that are there to enrich and empower aren't going to be attended by the target demo. And that is where that struggle and that disconnect. So how do we get that target person that's not going to be mandated to do
Yes, go ahead, Rose.
For that, we have to step out of the realm of PTAs at school. Sometimes you have to go into the community and hold PTA. It might be on the street corner or somebody's step. But you can't always just do it in school, and you can't always just do it during the weekday. You have Saturdays, you have Sundays.
That's right.
You cannot give people the excuse that they cannot participate because there are legal ramifications that you can hold parents accountable for who do not, and I'm not talking about the ones that don't know how to, who do not participate in school, who do not take care of their children healthy-wise. So there are other means that we could go. And I have to agree with you about we have to go back beyond elementary school to start teaching parenting skills. We used to teach it in schools, and we stopped teaching it in schools. So, I mean, I have to agree with you. Sorry.
No, I agree. All right, we got the line available, 410-481-1010. We can take some calls before we close out. How do we raise the bar, TJ? How do we get that bar up where we expect our youngsters to do well? You know,
it starts with accountability. I mean, again, we can't have them thinking that because the bar is low and you can just step over it, that's the way life is going to be. No,
yeah.
It was 10 push-ups. You have to do 10 successfully. You did 9.5. So, no, you don't make it this go around. And when you do make it, congratulations. Now it's 20. And guess what? That's how life is going to be once you're past 18, once you're past 30. That's how it's going to be. We can't just consider it's like this whole squeegee stuff we keep talking about, man. Where are you going after you finish squeegee? Man, what's next? And it's not about being better than them. It's hard work. You should spend all of those hours. It's not going to be easy making $15 or $17 an hour to make ends meet. No one's saying it's going to be easy.
All right.
But you have to use that as a step stool to get to the next level, and we have to open their eyes to let them see the future. And I know that we have some really poor people who have some really tough environments where they have to live every day, and every day is day-to-day.
Yeah, but you know what? Hey, we all have a wall to get over, and some wall is higher than others, but you got to get over it. All right, let's go to lines. We're up against it. Let's go to Mark C. Mark C., you're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Thank y'all for this show. I was a teacher in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was no crack addiction. There was a lot of stuff going on, but Coach and y'all, we had teachers' aides. We had all that stuff that she's talking about, liaisons. We had truancy. Truancy holds everybody accountable. We were poor, but our young people wasn't homeless like she's talking about. And Miss English said, where's the liaisons and all that kind of stuff? And your husband said, as far as leadership in the police department, TJ, he said that it comes with leadership. All this stuff comes with leadership, and I love what she's saying, you know, hold everybody accountable. And that's what truancy does. We need that, and we need the things in school in place, the no left behind, child left behind took away a lot of that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, in our schools. Y'all, thank y'all, man, just for having
thanks, Mark.
Y'all have a good one.
Yes, sir. All right, D, you're up next. D, talk to us.
Hello. I'm going to speak to Miss Rose because everything that you said, I was glad when I got in my car, everything you said resonates with me. I've been in the school system for over 30 years, and I don't have your education or your experience, but everything you said, I agree with. The teachers don't correct the children at all. And I wasn't in a place to go over the teacher and correct the child, but I did it sneakily. but I just wanted to say that I think that to raise the bar in the school system, that they have to stop hiring, they have to start hiring those people who specifically go to school to be teachers. And the principals are so young, and they don't have the knowledge or the finesse to they don't have the finesse to be over the teachers that they have.
All right, I got to move on because we're up against the clock. If you want to call in, call in a little earlier next time. Okay, let's go to the next call. What is it, Jude?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, what are we dealing with? I'm trying to tie it back to a brother that said something earlier about a lot of the kids ain't been to church. What we're dealing with is a literacy problem. Everybody's at the fourth grade reading level. Parents, kids, everybody listening to Google reading level of the Bible. The reading level of the Bible, the lowest version, is seventh grade. So we got people out here. You can't even teach these parents how to be parents because they can't read. We need to address the literacy problem first. And that's my problem. If they can't read, they're not going to be able to do anything. Thank you.
Well, you know what? Your point is well made, but I go back years ago where some of our grandparents weren't, avid readers, but they knew right from wrong. And they had the instincts to raise their child or their children so that their children one day would be reading and their children one day would surpass them. And you know what? That's missing in some cases.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes it is.
But all right, thanks for the call. But you know, Rose and TJ, I was against the scared straight strategy, and I understood it, but I was in favor of the opposite, where take your children to an office and take your children to see a T.J. Smith or Rose Hamm or Leonard Hamm or people who have been successful that came from similar neighborhoods. That's what you do. What they see is what there be. Exposure. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
All right. 410-481-1010. Do we have time to take another call? But in the meantime, if nothing else, again, folks, accountability. Accountability for our adults. Accountability for our children. And I don't care whether you're 14 or 15. If you shoot somebody, and I'm not saying this was the case, but this is what's being alleged. If you shoot somebody multiple times with that individual on the ground, I'm not the one to talk about, well, he was only 14.
And exposure, you know, you talk about accountability, you know, and what you were just talking about, seeing the other side, the more exposure the young people get, you know, to different things, that's recreation, but different jobs and opportunity, the more you keep their minds moving. And that was another thing. And I know we're running up against the clock, but removing some of the electives, I forgot what they call them, the arts and cultural stuff out of the schools, whether it's music or arts or what have you, not having as much access to that any longer. Have we stifled the growth of some of the kids to be exposed to some of those things where they don't have those outlets to go seek on their own?
Those outlets that you're talking about are so important in the educational system because those subjects can help drive your school to make sure that your children are learning in their other content areas.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, great show. Rose, thank you so much. If any of our listeners want to get in contact with you, is there a website or email or something?
They can get me at Education Ham, and that's educationhamm at yahoo.com, and I'll be more than happy to talk with them.
And also, folks, support the businesses that make this show possible. Again, J&W Brown General Contracting for all of your home improvement needs, interior, exterior, 410-728-5000, and A Step Forward. Check them out, One Step Forward. And they just, they just do so much for so many people. And then we've got Shooting for Peace, the grassroots organization. So check out all of the businesses that make this great, great show possible. TJ, thank you so much, man. I have a couple nothing burgers on me, okay?
All right, sir. You enjoy the green belt the rest of the day. Fantastic week, my brother.
All right, folks. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station. For the Coach's Corner featuring T.J. Smith. We're out.